97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
We'll talk a little music with our friend Tim Summer. We haven't had Tim on in a while, mainly because we've been at Fish Fry Fridays, and we don't really have guests on the phone when we're at Fish Fry Fridays. He is a great music journalist. He's a contributor to the Rock and Roll Globe website, and he signed Hootie and the Blowfish, wrote a book about that. He's going to focus in on some of the concerts that are coming to St. Louis that we will highlight. Also, this is Rock and Roll Hall of Fame weekend. We're going to find out who the actual inductees are.
Oh, that's right.
I think on Sunday, so Tim will have the very latest on that. Hey, let's talk Blues hockey with Frank Cusimano this afternoon. Holy moly, was that a game last night, wasn't it, Frank?
Wow.
Boy, it was just spectacular. And, you know, Mark, I've been saying all year that this is Doug Armstrong's, like, greatest year in that he hired Jim Montgomery and he signed the two talented players, Holloway and Broberg, with offer sheets. But I'll tell you what, this Cam Fowler pickup is just unbelievable. They got him for a second-round pick, and last night he's the first Blues defenseman in playoff history to get four assists. I mean, think about this for a second, that Pavel Buchnevich had the hat trick, and he wasn't even the first star because Fowler was so unbelievable. So just what they had to have, and they did it, and now they can even this series up Sunday at noon.
Well, it was what I said, you know, to you earlier in the week, just looking at the games in Winnipeg. Winnipeg just seemed to be dominating, mainly because they were dominating. Last night was exactly opposite. Right. I mean, it was unreal how they were dominating the Jets. And their goalie probably, well, they gave up a lot of goals. But you were talking about how good he is. There was nothing he could do last night.
You're right. I got to tell you, too, I think the biggest stat from the night that helped, you know, the goalie help the offense was hits. They had 63 hits last night in a 60-minute game. I mean, that's insane. That's a playoff record for the Blues. So they just came out right from the start. And I know Winnipeg has more high-end skill, but when you're getting smashed every, you know, minute, you're a little less likely to score a goal. So that was so beautiful.
They had them off their game. I mean, I'm wondering if this is going to freak them out for the next game. I mean, that was a shellacking that could give somebody, you know, the yips.
Ethan, you were there last night.
Boy, was that was a crazy crowd last night. It was a lot of fun to be inside of that arena. Frank, I'm curious, you know, I don't think the Blues are going to be able to beat this Jets team by five goals every night throughout the remainder of this series. But what the Blues are going to have to learn how to do is finish in the third period. They didn't really have to do that last night because they were leading the entire time. What does St. Louis have to do to be able to win a close one, and how far would that go for the final few games as far as going back out on the road, a confidence standpoint, if they were to win game four close?
Well, you're right about the stat, like the third period, because like heading into game three, they were outscored 4-0 in the third. I'll just say this. It is a daunting proposition to try to beat the Blues at Enterprise right now. They haven't lost since late February. They've won 13 in a row. I think Bennington's won 11 in a row now at home. I mean, I'll tell you, if you want to make a small wager, you maybe bet the Blues every home game moving on in this series. So it's just a tough place to win right now.
The Cardinals are back at home, and they seemingly have a lot more luck back at home than they are having on the road. They've only won two games on the road. They got the Brewers in town. It's a division rival. The Cardinals are five games below 500. There were some changes to the roster today, Frank, weren't there?
Yeah, they sent Ryan Fernandez down. They brought up Riley O'Brien, who does have just knockout stuff. He's been good in Memphis, not great. And the whole story for the Cardinals, I mean, if you want to just sum it up, just one word, it's bullpen. I mean, they're second in hits, they're fifth in OPS. Their starting pitching has been pretty good, 13th in starting pitching ERA. They're going to throw three, you know, good starters at the Brewers this weekend in Libitor, who's been really good, Sonny Gray and Eric Fetty. It's all about the bullpen. I think they have the most losses of any bullpen in Major League Baseball. They're 25th in ERA, and you know the great Yankee philosopher Bob Lemon once said the two most important things in life are good friends and a strong bullpen, and the Cardinals don't have the latter.
Frank, is this an issue you think that was obvious going into the season? I mean, obviously this bullpen was historically good last year. I don't know if it's fair to say that we should have expected the same exact thing, but I mean, are you surprised that we're seeing some of these guys struggle as much as we are to start off the year, or some of these underlying things that you're not surprised?
Oh, no, it's a big surprise. And there's no doubt about it. As you mentioned last year, that was probably the number one strength of this team. You felt good about a guy like JoJo Romero handing the ball off to Ryan Helsley. But now you can't get to Helsley. Innings like 7 and 8 have just been a disaster for the Cardinals, and it's come out of nowhere. There are some talented arms, you know, that they could actually go to one day from Memphis. And actually, they could go to Springfield and get to Koa Roby. But, yeah, this has been a total shock. And that's why when people want to blame Ali Marmol for this team being 10 and 15, I think they're just off base. I mean, it's Ali Marmol, he has guys in the bullpen. He doesn't have other options. He's got to give them the ball when the starter can't go past 6 innings. And every one of them, nearly every one of them, have failed.
I haven't been paying as close attention this last week as it was the week before. Has Victor Scott cooled off a little bit?
No.
Okay,
hasn't.
Good.
In fact, he's up to 275 in a real good trip to Atlanta. And I'm telling you, his defense, this was like, you know, Jim Edmonds, Willie McGee, Andy Van Slyke kind of defense in a very short time period. But he has a chance to be elite in the outfield. And if he hits 275 and the way he draws walks, man, this is a big plus.
Well, that's awesome to hear. I wasn't sure on him. And then Contreras, is he starting to hit or not? Because that's an issue, isn't it?
It was a big issue, and now he's starting to hit like he has his entire career. I was never worried about him. Dave, one big thing, though. I know you're a big Mizzou fan. Last night, Mizzou fans were really disappointed. Now, Membu went with the 7th pick in the draft, but we were excited about Luther Burden, who had a chance to become, I believe, the 16th St. Louisan to go in the first round. He did not. I talked to some friends that were down there at his draft party. He was so disappointed. He kind of left early. So the draft starts tonight at 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock St. Louis time. Let's hope that Luther Burden goes early in the second round. The earlier they go, the earlier you go, the more money you make.
Yeah, it was great to see Membo go at number 7. That was about as high as I had ever seen him predicted. It did not surprise me that Luther is going to go in the second round, and I think he's going to go in the 4th, 5th, or 6th pick tonight. So he's going to be there in the top of the second round. But there's I think he'll be fine. You're going to be disappointed if you're not a first rounder, but he's going to get with the team and be able to show his stuff, and he's going to be just fine. Frank, what's coming up on Sunday night?
On Sunday night, since Travis Hunter stole the headlines last night being a two-way player, second pick in the draft, we're going to relive some history. I chatted with Roy Green, for our older audience, a superstar with the St. Louis Football Cardinals. He was a defensive back, and one day after practice, Jim Hanifin said, "Hey, why don't you try to catch some balls on offense? We're a little bit injured in that." And then like 9,000 yards later, his career ends as one of the greatest wide receivers and still a good defensive back. So we'll have his story Sunday night.
Have a great weekend, Frank. I will not be here next week. We'll talk to you the following week, but have a great weekend.
Thanks, Frank.
Sounds great. Take care.
Hopefully, it's funny. My friend, I'm going with listeners to Greece. My friend Rick Niner, who's out in Las Vegas, we were very concerned. He's a big hockey fan. Yeah. The Golden Knights are in a series right now, not looking so good against the Wild. But we want to be able to watch some of this overseas, and you have to get a VPN. So I'm learning how to get a VPN so I can watch some of this stuff on the streaming services. Yeah.
Well, because they weed that out in Europe. Yeah.
But I'm going to figure it out. Jane, have a great weekend. We'll see you in 2 weeks, too.
Yes.
We got Sue's News. No, we don't. We do not have Sue's News.
No,
we
that's
got Tim
over.
Summer
Morrow.
And Paul Morrow. My brain today, wow.
Get more at 971talk.com.